All right, this is Mike Adams. Welcome to this interview, which I can already tell you is going to be truly astonishing, mind-blowing. I have been trying to get this guest on. We had to reschedule once or twice. We got him back on today. He has done some of the most amazing interviews. He is courageous. He is making waves, exposing the truth, and he's got some lawsuits going right now against the vaccine industry that we're going to hear about. His name is Todd Callender. He's a practicing attorney. He was the first guy to sue the Department of Defense over the vaccine mandate. We're going to talk about transhumanism, vaccine activation, binary weapons, the whole thing, a corporate ownership of your genetic code, all of this. Mr. Callender, it's an honor to have you on. I'm a huge fan of the work that you're doing. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, the honor's really mine. And thank you for the Herculean efforts to make it happen, Mike. Thank you.
Well, we are all doing our part, but you're doing more than most. And I'd like to start with your lawsuit. That's right on the table right now. You've got a 10th Circuit Court hearing coming up. So tell us about that and also how people can pay attention to this or support your efforts to see justice served when it comes to these vaccines.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for the opportunity. The case is called Robert v. Austin. We filed it in the Colorado Federal District Court against the Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, and the FDA, all three of those defendants. And immediately we filed a temporary restraining order, and after that, a preliminary injunction trying to get this judge to stop the shots. It was the first case against the government regarding any of the mandates. And after that, a lot of other really good people started filing suit as well. Ours got derailed right after my friend Tom Rentz had taken some of our joint clients, military clients, including Dr. Long and Chambers and Sigaloff, Mark Bashaw. They were whistleblowers in the military, and they had accessed independently and provided the epidemiological evidence called DMET to us. So Tom and them went and saw Senator Johnson. The next day, our case got dismissed. The DOD did not want that to come in, and that being an 1,100% all-cause morbidity and mortality increase in the numbers for the military in 2021 over 2020. You can't run away from 1,100%, but that's exactly what happened. They dismissed our case. We appealed it to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's where we sit today. We've got a hearing theoretically coming up on the 18th of November, and I say theoretically because there's a pending motion to dismiss. The DOJ does not want this case to get there, and there are a lot of reasons, but the primary one that I'm concerned about is the transhumanist portion of this. So we found in the process of our case, the informed consent rights weren't being observed because the DOD wasn't operating under the FDA's investigational new drug rules. They were operating under the genetic modification rules, which is separately regulated by the HHS and allows them to have a lesser informed consent requirement or burden. And so part of that led me to that research led me to things like the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, the NASA Langley research, where in 2001, our own government decided that it'd be great to publish, something about super soldiers that they now call Borg or have been calling Borg since 2001. And we stumbled along the evidence that shows that use of these shots does make in vitro, genetic modification, that it's happening in real time, not future generations. And as such, there's a U.S. Supreme Court case already on this subject matter. It's called Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics. It's a 2013 Supreme Court case, and it holds use of mRNA to effectuate gene modification results in the synthetic product, right? The result from that genetic modification belonging to the patent holders. So when you look back at the patents on these shots, Moderna and Pfizer, both mRNA shots, where did those patents lead? Corporations, you said that correctly. It's my sense that in part these patents actually lead all the way back to Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada.
What?
There's some big players. I'm not joking.
there's a link I could not guess.
Kid you not. So we don't have the full understanding. There are so many patents on this subject matter. In fact, if you were to look up the NIH, you would find that there is actually a division of the NIH called the SynBio Division. SynBio is short for synthetic biology, synthetic biological entities. I mean, it's exactly what I'm talking about, use of gene modification technologies to create a synthetic biological product. You can think of Monsanto and their corn. Well, by today, that's relatively old technology. most everything we're eating these days, and you know this probably better than anybody, is some form of a synbio food. And when you juxtapose that to the goal of the enterprise, the owners of this world, as I call them, their mission is to genetically modify every plant and animal species on the planet for the purpose of spiting God. We are the last species, really, in this whole process. They've already generally genetically modified everything we eat, plants around, mosquitoes, you name it. There's a piece of law. It's the Leahy Act came out in 2011. Said you don't get to genetically register. You don't get them to patent humans. But having said that, it doesn't count as towards patents that have already happened. And a lot of these patents that I'm talking about actually happened prior to 2011. So the question in front of the court is: are these people that got the shots human? Are they a new species? And either way, are they owned by the patent holder? And then third, if they are a new species and belong to somebody else in violation of our 13th Amendment, that's the anti-slavery amendment, what rights do they enjoy? Are they humans for purposes of the law? If somebody were to kill one of these synthetic biohumans, is that a homicide? Are they protected by that? And my concern is the answer is no. They may not be contemplated by the law or protected by the law at this very moment.
Which means also then governments could round these people up.
That's right.
Right. So they could them. They could use them as a food source, frankly, because they would be treated like cattle. But
that's right.
Let me back up a second. And I know you, as an attorney, will appreciate the power of this point, which is that every single person consented to these. I mean, every person that had the injection actually did consent. Now, under the law and laws of ownership and experimental medicine and so on, that consent is a necessary component to the claims that would be made by these corporations, is it not?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Having said that, coercion and fraud can play a role in that.
Sure.
And fraud normally will vitiate that consent. However, the DOD seemingly did apply the appropriate standard in terms of informed consent as it relates to genetic engineering, which is effectively none. It's whether or not people knew or could have known that these were gene modification agents, and Moderna never ran from that. And Pfizer said, yeah, we're going to create synthetic spike protein. So, you know, to your point, right, people maybe actually did consent from a legal perspective. However, creating, you know, ownership rights in people violates our 13th Amendment of
Absolutely.
Our Constitution. And it was written broadly. The 13th Amendment doesn't say this is to protect people. It doesn't say this is to protect Homo sapiens. It's to protect parties. So that's a pretty broad definition of who it might apply to. And that's my point, that everybody needs to be covered by this.
Well, sure. Yeah. But I'm shocked that how much, for example, Moderna placed patents on its website or links to patents. And it was, in fact, some of those patents are so shocking, as we've both seen with the research of people like Karen Kingston, that you wonder, why do they put these patents on their website? And you have to think, part of the reason is so they could claim they disclosed all of this.
Yeah, that's
right. And then you look at the FDA, well, when more people keep dying and the lawsuits of those deaths reach some point after perhaps, you know, surviving motions to dismiss, the FDA is simply going to say, well, we told you it was experimental. It was emergency use authorization. We told you it was not approved. You decided to participate in the experiment. I can see that happening too.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've got a really good argument against that. So you might have seen, it was some months ago, that the Coast Guard flew in these bottles of what they called were Comirnaty. And they represented to the Coast Guard service members that these were actually licensed. And they were not. These were the European manufactured version of Comirnaty that had been licensed in Europe substantially prior. In fact, really licensed. The biological application is what got approved in the United States. In any event, these things weren't manufactured in accordance with good manufacturing practices anyway, because that was waived. The point is, we have superb evidence of fraud, at least as it relates to the service members in the DOD or DHS, because that's where Coast Guard
But now,
lives.
Having that evidence, and I agree with you, you do have overwhelming evidence of this, and also Thomas Renz and the whistleblowers that he's working with and so on. You have overwhelming evidence. But it doesn't matter if a court won't hear it. So that's why it's so critical to survive these motions right now.
And you got that one right. We're all getting tossed out on motions to dismiss. The military, principally, because that's where the mandates rest, says that there's no subject matter jurisdiction, meaning that what we're claiming is effectually impossible. And therefore, we don't have standing to be in front of the court, and we're all getting tossed out left, right, and center. And for that reason, by the way, you know, we had actually created in our law firm legal templates for people to file their own suits, because pro se plaintiffs are actually owed a favor by the court to get past the procedural challenges to give them their day in court. So they actually have an easier time. And we published those and a lot of other self-help legal documents at a website called Five Small Stones with the number five. And we're pursuing that vigorously to get as many people as we can off the benches, off their couches to fight, because that's how we've actually won in the DOD. Even though we haven't won in court, where we have won is we ground them to a halt. Right after we filed suit, we had thousands and thousands of service members calling for help. We couldn't keep up. So we just made these templates, these self-help legal templates. Here's a religious exemption. Here's a medical disability exemption. Here's administrative. Here's what an inspector general complaint looks like, an Article 138. We had five or six different templates. And hundreds of thousands of service members stood up. They fought for themselves, and they papered the crap out of the DOD to the point where we effectively stopped them. And that's where it sits today. We didn't win in court, but we sure as heck have won in that regard.
Well, let me give out your websites for those listening, especially service members listening who may need this help. It's dradvocates.com. That's the law firm, dradvocates.com. And then also another website of yours is Vax Choice, and that's V-A-X-X. So there's two X's in there, vaxchoice.com. And how else can people support your upcoming hearing with the 10th Circuit?
Great. Come and watch it. Actually, I would like to fill the gallery full of people demanding to have answers to whether or not people are owned, and if they are, what rights do they deserve, or what rights do they enjoy? It's in Denver, Colorado at 8:30 in the morning on the 18th of November, assuming we survive the motion to dismiss, courtroom two. And I understand that Ann Vandersteel is going to be coming to cover this amongst others. And I also understand that it's actually live streamed. The hearing itself is live streamed. What I'd really like is for enough public pressure to exist that the court can't dodge this, that they've got to address it. When I raised this issue in the appeal, in the briefs, the Department of Justice refused to answer it. They neglected to actually say a word about it. So I've also asked the court, if given that there was no defense to this, do we deem it admitted? Because we have to have answers about this. It's just really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think the chances are that this survives the motion to dismiss?
I think very high. And the reason I say that is when we filed our appeal, we didn't ask for oral arguments. And the DOJ specifically said they didn't want them. And yet the court ordered them. The court said, no, we're going to hear this. 3-judge panel. Prepare your oral arguments. By the way, we're only given 15 minutes to present our case.
Wow.
So not a lot of time. And there's a lot of ground to cover in that 15 minutes. But I understand that the way it actually really works, I'm not an appellate lawyer. I'm just a lawyer bringing the case, doing the best I can. I understand that we're just going to get peppered with questions and it's going to be very interruptive. So we just have to think on our feet and do the best we can.
So people can go there in person to support you. How else? I mean, can
they follow it?
Yeah.
They can actually follow it. It's going to be live streamed. Spread the word any way you can. If you want, pick up the phone and call your political representatives and say, look, we want to know about this. I have to think in 10 other ways to do it. In fact, some people, there's a really great guy by the name of Pratish, and he files what are called amicus briefs. So he goes to the court as a layman, and he writes these briefs and he submits them. So if people want to do that, go to Five Small Stones, go to Vax Choice, go to our law firm, and we'll help you organize that. I would love to have any and all help we can get.
Now, will your law firm website post links to the live stream on that day?
You know, I don't think it will, but I can assure you that Vax Choice will.
Okay, Vax Choice will have the links.
You
okay.
bet.
Because let me talk to my team at Brighteon to see if we could carry that as a live stream.
Oh, that'd
as
be
well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Because we have, I think, three streaming channels that we can use for different purposes. So maybe we could stream it in parallel and we could pre-announce that. I'll talk to my team about that and get back to you about
that.
Very
cool.
Also, by the way, hang on after this interview, make sure you've got my direct mobile number so we can keep in touch that way.
Yeah, that'd be great, Mike. Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, okay, in addition to all of this that's going on, in previous interviews that you've done, you've referred to the possibility of 5G broadcasts, certain frequencies and certain patterns that might influence or alter the response of some elements that either were in the vaccine or were self-assembled in people's bodies in response to the instructions in the vaccine. Could you speak to that, please?
Yeah, there's a lot to speak to in that regard. When you sue the DOD and you have a few hundred thousand plaintiffs, you also get a whole lot of whistleblowers. And they came out of the woodwork, not just the DOD, but the government generally, and really from all over the world. And so we started getting all kinds of information about how all this really works. In the latest research, it might be easier to work backwards. What we came to find is that there's a critical component to both 5G and the way that the shots genetically modify people. And that is the ingredient cesium-137. As we've come to find, it is the I'm not joking.
Radioisotope.
Yes, it sure is. That's right. It's a man-made radioisotope, and it's apparently in all of us because we've been eating it, we've been receiving it in our water, drinking it, and we've been breathing it in through our nostrils. It is closely monitored by the UN, the WHO, our government, and the National Radiological Commission. I think that's what it's called. In any event, the NRC, who follows, you know, radiation exposure, and throughout this whole thing since 1957, actually, they've been monitoring cesium-137 levels. What we came to find is that when DARPA created the hydrogel, that's the key ingredient that has luciferase in it. In the Moderna shots, it's called SM-102. Look it up. It's highly toxic. The safety data sheets say that. In fact, they say that if it comes in contact with your skin, it's fatal. Nonetheless, this is an ingredient inside the shots. You have luciferase, cesium-137, and a variety of other pig-lated materials. They effectively wrap these things in fat so that they can slip past our body's natural immunity.
Right.
Cesium-137 is necessary because it acts as a transistor when it binds to living matter, living tissue. And it also acts as an amplifier. So there is quite a bit of research and evidence to suggest that after it bonds with the tissue, it amplifies as much as 1,000%. So one of the pieces of data I sent you is called the EPCR. And we found this in the original phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical study the military did on 44,000 service members and their family. That was the basis for the granting of the emergency use authorization by the FDA, was that study. And in that study, they used something called the InTouch eDiary to track the results of the shots in those people. And by the way, you and I both know there is no such thing as a phase 1, 2, and 3 trial, right? Not in humans, but that's what they did. So that should show you how farcical it is. And in any of that, once the materials are delivered into the body and they bind, right, there's good graphene hydroxide, that cesium-137, and a variety of other components in the hydrogel. Once that happens, the body starts sending out signals. It becomes an antenna, a transistor, and an amplifier, in so much that 1 gigahertz of energy inputted or signal produces a terahertz out. So this eDiary, the EPCR unit, can be a cell phone, as it was in that particular case. It could be a watch. And it's really gathering data from inside your body, just as Noah Harari talks about. Now we can spy on you from the inside.
Let me jump in here with a bunch of questions. You just opened up this massive Schrodinger's box of questions. So you were just talking about a frequency shift right there. Gigahertz to terahertz, but first,
that's right.
Cesium-137. You mentioned this is essentially a potentiator, but it is a potentiator of what exactly? And let me preface that by saying, I know as a nutritionist in this area, cesium tends to follow the pathways of potassium in the body.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So wherever potassium goes, which is the cell membranes, then cesium would replace the potassium. So the cesium would be sitting on the outside of the cell membranes, essentially functioning as a potentiated gatekeeper to allow other things to penetrate the cell wall. Is that what you're saying?
That I don't know about whether it's penetrating the cell wall other than for the purpose of electronic signals.
I think that,
however, penetrating the cell wall for purposes of the lipid nanoparticles was already handled by virtue of the HIV proteins that were put into the shots.
Right, right. And the polyethyl,
the polyethylene glycol. That's right. So one way or another, the answer is they were able to slip the lipid nanoparticles into people's cells and reprogram them either use adenovirus vectors or mRNA. Either way, that reprogramming, that genetic alteration did happen, and we know that. We have evidence of it. For example, in the six-month post-marketing study that Pfizer was forced to release, right, that came out of a FOIA action. You would note that there were 1,291 serious adverse events of special interest, the number one of which is the 1p36 gene deletion syndrome. And by the way, there are other gene deletion problems that are listed in that 1,291 serious adverse events. Mm-hmm. That means in addition to the 20 that they already listed, these are the new ones. 1p36 gene deletion is a congenital disease. You're born with it. And yet this is the number one side effect of the shots. So we know that the gene deletion is happening in the people after they received it. It's not a function of passing it on to the kids. That may actually happen as well. But we know that there is in vitro gene modification, gene alteration happening. And that by itself is evidence enough and sufficient to demonstrate that, because that's the test that we're facing in our case. Can we prove that mRNA resulted in gene modification? And the answer is, yeah, we can prove that. Now the question is whether the synthetic product belongs to somebody else and is it a new species?
Now, another thing that becomes obvious in this, if you're saying that cesium-137 is part of this.
It is.
The decay of that radioisotope, which I believe decays to 134 and then to 133, but I'm just going from memory on that. That would be detectable, right?
So that's, yes.
And maybe it's such a low level that it couldn't be detected with, let's say, a consumer grade Geiger counter, but with a precision medical scanner, that decay could be detected, which means they would have a way to scan for the presence of who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been without even requiring any other test.
That's exactly right. So two ways. Number one, they're picking up 16-digit MAC addresses from people because of this. And then secondarily, the quantum micro dot luciferase, you know, under black light, you can see who got shot and who didn't. Right. You know, one of the reasons why you see those stupid lights, the blue ones that are supposed to be street lights, there are multiple reasons for them. Number one of which is the exposure of those lights to people that have been vaxxed apparently creates, according to our experts, a 500% increase in the environment for compatibility with bacterial growth, meaning that the hydrophilic bonds are already being broken by the EMF and by the introduction of these materials. The blue light creates a 500% better environment for microbes to live there, biological. So there's dual purposes, but those blue lights, when people walk under them, you can see visibly whether or not they've been vaxxed or not. I think our friend Hope and Tavon just published something about that, people going through the borders and the border inspectors knowing that their vax cards were forged.
So, I mean, this is so fascinating, because if the vaccine companies are using cesium-137, that is a highly regulated material.
Yes.
By the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Right. And
it's also considered a material to be used in dirty bombs.
That's exactly right. And who created it? DARPA created hydrogel. Right. And the other part of this I didn't say, and I need to say it, is that it's an integral and essential part of 5G. The decay, what you just talked about, is the essential part of it. Cesium-137 is what they use for the atomic clock. Why? Because it degrades at exactly one atom per second. Right, it's measurable like that. In order to make it possible for 5G to work, it's all got to be timed exactly in real time, effectively quantum time, right? Spooky action at a distance, kind of time. And in order for that to work with the bodies, it all has to be in perfect timing. And cesium-137 is the secret ingredient. And you're absolutely right. It's Savannah River where they're keeping close track of this.
And the half-life of this is about, I believe, 29 years. So maybe. In other words, it will last a lifetime for most people.
I thought the half-life was 80, but you could be right.
I'm pretty sure it's 29 to 30 years. We can look that up while we're talking. But sure. Whereas, you know, iodine-131, the half-life is only like 6 or 7 days, right? So they need something that would last a lot longer if they're going to track people. And so cesium-137 fits that bill.
Sure.
But it's also rapid enough so there is decay that's measurable because, you know, some isotopes of uranium are so slow, might take millions of years, which means it's not really doing much of anything. Oh, here it is. Half-life 30.05 years.
There good, thank you. Good memory.
Well, we're trying to get all the numbers in here, but you have a good memory. What are you talking about? How do you grasp all of this and keep it in your mind all at once?
Divine providence, frankly.
Wow. All right. So then what about what do you think? Well, so many questions about the broadcast that could influence whatever tech this is.
Yeah.
You believe they're waiting for a specific day to do that?
I think we've seen it. You know, yeah, sure. Well, so for instance, you know, it must have been 4 months ago, certainly in the summertime, when 12,000 cattle fall over dead all at the same time. How does that happen?
True.
Right? Secondarily, and by the way, all those cows were vaxxed, so I come to understand, or at least given the hydrogel. Secondarily, more recently, I understand that the Korean stampede wasn't a Korean stampede at all. People
really?
Just started falling over dead. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it's really hard to find that out. We're sitting here watching people, even back to Wuhan, right? Funny enough, 2019 on this very day, Wuhan turned on 10,000 5G transmitters. It was the first 5G city in the world, the first smart city. And people started falling over dead. We saw the videos, the policeman standing on the corner, and he falls over dead for no apparent reason. There are different reasons for that. Number one, we do know that 5G at the 60 gigahertz signal has oxygen absorption properties. It actually can split the oxygen molecule from the nitrogen molecule and make it impossible to uptake it. So you could literally asphyxiate people remotely. That much we do know. We know that the 18 gigahertz signal will swell the lipid nanoparticles to a point where they'll release their contents. It's almost like a remote bomb and payloads.
Right.
And then we know there are other frequencies from 1 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz that do different things. The active denial system the military uses, I guess, somewhere up by 96, 97 gigahertz. So we've known since 76, at least publicly, the military has been working on different frequencies from the half hertz all the way up to terahertz and all what those different frequencies do. They've been experimenting. All of a sudden, you know, you see 5G towers and cell towers everywhere. Why is it that when everybody was locked down, the telecommunications people putting 5G in all the public schools were essential workers? Right? Why? This is a weapon system. They've installed phased arrays. And by the way, in Wuhan, right after they turned on the antennas and everybody started getting sick or dying, there's 21 million Chinese gave up their 5G subscriptions or devices, 21 million of them. They figured it out. But here we are, rushing into 5G. There are no safety standards for this. And if you talk to the FCC about it, they don't want to hear you. You know, Europe has got some standards, but the U.S. doesn't effectively have any other than what appear in OSHA. And that's to protect the workers from not being too close to a radiological source. Beyond that, you and I have no protection.
Yeah, you just mentioned too the phased array antennas that are part of this. So that technology, the phased array antennas, this allows them two options. They can specifically target one individual by tracking their 5G phone, or they can also do area effect broadcasts that hit everybody in a certain arc, maybe a 45-degree arc or 90-degree arc. But the thing about those phased array antennas is they can also simultaneously maintain hundreds of specific targeted attacks at different individuals at the same time without having to physically move anything around. That is exotic technology right there. And for a weapon system, it's perfect for them.
I think it's worse. My understanding, again, going back to learned experts, which I am not, we have people who are, tell me that three places to the left of the decimal in terms of our genetic description, when it's digitized, three number places to the right of the decimal point, they can track everybody's individual genome. That it is possible through the PCR test that they gathered everybody's genetic information, digitized it, and that they could actually target people individually or as groups, a holotype, for example. So not just taking out areas, taking out groups of people or taking out individuals.
So then, and I know you're aware of this, but to our audience, remember the swabbing. And the swabbing of everybody was sent to Chinese laboratories for genetic analysis. So how does that link into all of this, Mr. Callender?
Digitization. They're digitizing everybody's genome. Right, that is 21andMe and all that nonsense. That's all that's about. We are now living in an era where the medium of exchange, you and I trading money, you know, has very limited value. The people behind this, the World Economic Forum, will tell you themselves that the new medium of exchange is data, and the more data they got, the better it is. And so, one of the reasons they want to have the genetic understanding inside of our bodies, which is what this is all about, is because they want the data, they want the control, and they want to actually tie this. You can see there's a patent on this by Gates into what is effectively really the matrix of turning people into a battery/power source, into transmitters, but also into cloud computing nodes, so that when, for instance, the executive order that Biden came out with, I don't know, a month or so ago on digitized currency, central bank digital currency, will be fully programmable down to the cellular level. So, for instance, you go on a hike and you expend so much CO2 because it was a rigorous hike, they would be able to track that and be able to assign a value to that such that it would be a medium of exchange that would have an effect on your carbon credits, your value expressed in terms of carbon credits for a medium of exchange. So your universal basic income will be affected by your activities. You'll get paid for the cloud computing that you're doing in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, for instance. That's all envisioned by patents.
So, folks, this is no joke. So first, they do want a genetic ID fingerprint system for the central bank digital currencies so that no one can use the system without them knowing who you are, and no one can, counterfeit the currency
or what you can buy means.
right
or what you can buy or where you can buy it.
100%. But the more important thing that you just said is essentially that the human body, through these so-called vaccine injections, the human body becomes a host for an alternative computational platform that is really a distributed cloud-based system. It's actually a cyborg type of system. So part biology, part cognition through self-assembling nanostructures. Now, interview with Karen Kingston, she revealed the patents on this. And I remember specifically one of the patents talked about, quote, cognitive action at the nanoscale in these tiny particles that look like spike proteins. I mean, they physically resemble spike proteins, but they are cognitive action tiny computational systems that can also adapt to the environment. They can receive information and they can transmit information. So this is the Borgification of humanity.
Yeah. Well, they called it that. The NASA Langley Research Center actually referred to exactly what you and I are talking about as Borg. This new species, they refer to as Borg. Having said that, others, for instance, going back, I can't remember the name of the book, or Requiem for Mankind or something like that, refers to them as Homo Borgensis, Homo Borgensis. And even dating back 100 years ago, there were such references that this has been envisioned for that period of time. Nothing is new under the sun. So yes, all of that is so.
So then that means, I mean, let's just use deductive reasoning here and logic. If they're transitioning humanity to a hybrid Borg synthetic biology system, then that means that in their minds, whoever's running this, they already consider humans to be obsolete.
Yes, that's right. And I think they're telling us that, right? When you hear Klaus Schwab and his buddy Noah Harari, they actually say that.
They are saying that.
What good are humans? They could go play video games or whatever. And what I'm saying to you is that there is some value to the humans in the patents because they envision us being batteries and computing, cloud computing nodes, amongst other things.
Right. So the only value of a living human being is to provide a biological environment for the hosting of a synbio system that is serving the needs of the globalists by carrying out distributed computational, blockchain checks or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, it's the Matrix.
It is the Matrix as a medium of exchange, right? They've done a brilliant job of hooking it all together. And by the way, from a legal perspective, I can tell you, it's not less than 40, 50 years it took them to put all these pieces in place. And I actually have some hope, and I can explain it to you. But I'm trying to explain and express to you the way they designed all of this, all these different features coming together at exactly this point in time, took a tremendous amount of planning, and it's like a Swiss clock. Right, all the gears had to match up exactly, and that's actually where we have some strength. But yeah, what you just said, the Matrix was not science fiction; it was a plan.
Right, right. Okay, so a couple questions then from this. And by the way, this is one of the most fascinating interviews that I've had all year, and I know we've only scratched the surface. But first question: how do they plan to eliminate those who refuse the vaccines?
Oh, I think there's lots of ways to do that. But first and foremost, my concern is that they don't have to. And when I say they, I'm referring to the owners of this world. And who do I mean by that? The ones that actually make money up out of thin air, lend it to governments for a purpose of laundering it. I mean, when you make your money, you know, you can buy it, everything. And they do. The owners of this world own all the water supply, food supply, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I'm talking about when I say they. For instance, we can be made obsolete. We could be turned off, and worse, there's a lot of science to show that what they installed is actually contagious. So, for instance, we know there's sterility proteins in these shots. We know that when people are engaging in intercourse, those sterility proteins are, or I should say, compounds, are actually transmitted and causing others to also become sterile. We know that there are prions being produced and shed by the people who got the shots. In other words, the operating system itself may be contagious. Right. There are some scientists that have found lipid nanoparticles in non-vax people's blood. And my suspicion is, by virtue of the 3,300 commercial food products that have lipid nanoparticles, we're already full of them in some respect.
Well, it's a lot, you know, the UN even has documented what they call self-replicating vaccines. I mean, that sure. That research has been going on since the 1990s, if not earlier. So what you're saying is not outlandish by any means. It's been part of this discussion for quite some time. All right. But then the bigger question, how does humanity defeat this?
Yeah, good one. So a few ways. First and foremost, you know, we believe in God. We build our relationship with God. And I don't want people to take this as I'm going to turn him off now, because we really are in the final spiritual battle. I said it earlier. The purpose of this enterprise is to genetically modify every plant and animal species for the purpose of spiting God. That's a stated goal. It's reflected in all of their writings, which go back a long time, but you can even see the remnants in Agenda 21, otherwise known as the Agenda for the 21st Century. So this is a spiritual battle. Build your relationship with God. Maybe it's worn. Maybe it doesn't exist at all. You have a chance to do that right now. Pick your side, because this is about souls and who gets them in the end days, and we're in those end days. Secondarily, I think we're being given an opportunity to save ourselves, to save our species. And how? By saying no, we're not going along with this. You said it yourself that this has to be voluntary, right? It is. It must be voluntary, and we don't have to agree to it. We can assert our rights by saying, no, this was fraud, and I'm suing you, and we're going to undo this. We can paper the crap out of them. I think more importantly than all of that is actually just frustrating their purpose. I can't tell you exactly why, but I have come to find that they have a very strict deadline of 2030, that they're agenda items, notably the 7 billion reduction in the world's population, must be completed by 2030. And if it isn't, I don't know what the consequences are. All I know is that it's dire. So every day we frustrate them, they become more bold, they become more desperate and more obvious. And I think the 4 or 5 years of President Trump being in office was by itself enough to cause all those little gears we talked about not fitting. It's not working. And we can see it today. You know, they're trying to bait Vladimir Putin into a nuclear exchange, and he's not going to do it. Astana in Kazakhstan was built for the Bank of International Settlements. That's the owners, for their new empire to be built, to be run from there. Vladimir Putin took it over, right? When everybody's saber rattling in Ukraine, he sent his Spetsnaz over to Kazakhstan and took it. There are lots of examples I can share with you to say the plan isn't working. And the more we frustrate them by saying no, the more we get people in the military or uniform or our friends in police to say, no, I'm not going to force the shots like we've just seen in Australia over the last few days. That frustration by itself may be enough to unwind this. Lastly, my understanding is that cesium-137 can be exited from the body using activated charcoal. If that is so, and that is the essential element for both 5G and these transmissions of people's bodies, if need be, we can remove the cesium-137 from people's bodies. Everything stops.
Well, Todd, you may not know this, but I actually hold a published patent on the removal of cesium-137 from the body.
God bless you, brother. Let's do it.
I do.
You've got the answer.
Well, let me share that right here.
Please.
And that people can read about that at cesiumeliminator.com. There's nothing for sale. I won't sell this supplement unless there's a nuclear emergency. And in that case, I would just donate it. I actually have 10,000 kilos of the raw material to make this, stockpiled in Central Texas in anticipation of donating it to the state of Texas in the event of a nuclear attack.
Holy cow. Or a dirty bomb.
Exactly. And let me tell you what this is. People can look up the patent. The ingredients are listed there, but the main ingredient, and I want to just urge people, I do not recommend taking this main ingredient on a daily basis as a prevention. That's not what I'm saying. But this main ingredient that absolutely removes cesium-137 from the body, it's in the patent, is zeolites.
Now, that's interesting.
It is. Go ahead.
It's interesting because my understanding is that zeolite is mined to create cesium-137.
Well, see, that is very interesting. But the structure of the zeolites, which, by the way, zeolites contain a lot of aluminum. That's why I tell people you don't want to take ground up powdered zeolites because it contains a lot of free aluminum combined with your gastric acid can actually cause an aluminum rush in your body, which is not good. That's why don't take it daily. But in a nuclear emergency or perhaps certain forms of zeolites that are not crushed but rather are intact, your body will eliminate them through your feces and it'll take cesium-137 with it because of the structure.
What is Prussian blue? I have seen that appear in some documents as it relates to this, and I don't know what it is.
Prussian blue is the only FDA-approved substance that is clinically proven to remove cesium-137. Now, what's interesting, Prussian blue can be prescribed by a doctor for treatment upon exposure to radiation. Prussian blue is also a very common paint pigment in the painting and artistry industry. You can go online right now, and anybody can buy Prussian blue pigment. In fact, I've done that. I have bottles and bottles of Prussian blue.
And it's the same thing?
It's the exact same thing.
this is like ivermectin for our horses. I like the apple-flavored ivermectin, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. This is kind of like the ivermectin of radiation exposure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just with the disclaimer for those listening, I'm not recommending that you take Prussian blue or that you take these things.
I get that.
Just understand, you know, I've done a lot of research in this area, so I can tell you this works. The other thing is if you combine zeolites with something called marine magnesium, and there are some supplement providers that sell this on a wholesale level, and we purchase marine magnesium for use in some of our formulations. We have a heavy metals defense product, for example, that uses it. For whatever reason, this marine magnesium, which means it's magnesium derived from old like coral reefs and shells, you know, abandoned shells in the ocean, and the ocean water is very high in magnesium. If you take this marine magnesium, which is a powder, and you combine it with zeolites, then you get like 99.something% effective removal of cesium-137.
Wow. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Huh. What is the value? And I ask you these questions because I don't know, I'm legitimately asking you, what is the value of potassium iodide as it relates to these things?
Well, potassium iodide, of course, only occupies the receptor sites on the thyroid that blocks the absorption of iodine-131.
So only iodine.
Only iodine. So potassium iodide has no use against cesium-137.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And what did the U.S. government buy? It was $270 million worth of some radiological protection.
That was a drug systems. That's designed to treat radiation sickness, which is, you know, high-intensity radiation exposure in a short time duration. And that drug is supposed to allow the cells to regenerate quickly through, by the way, through chromosomal repair. Now, here's some, if you don't mind me mentioning this, I'm trying to interview you, but I got to share this with you. You know that, so radiation exposure, the way it causes radiation sickness and death is that it causes what are called double strand breaks or DSBs in the chromosomes. Well, your body normally has a double strand break repair mechanism called NHEJ, non-homologous end joining is what that's called. Well, NHEJ is 90% disabled by the spike protein. So in other words, yes. So a binary weapon that would kill billions of people is to inject them with something that generates spike protein, then subject the world to low levels of radiation from a radiation fallout event. It would cause constant chronic double strand breaks in their chromosomes. Yeah. They would die from radiation poisoning while the unvaccinated people would be able to repair as normal as they do all the time.
Yeah, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, this is all
real. I was going to say to you that my concern, given the elections and what appears to be a hurricane of voting the thugs out, I have zero doubt, given some whistleblowers in the federal government, including FEMA people, that they'll try and stop it. Given that everybody has one cesium-137 in them now across the United States of America. In fact, I understand it's 1,200% the allotted amount for humans in our country. What's to stop them from just setting off a regular old bomb and saying, oh, yeah, it's a dirty bomb. See, cesium's everywhere.
Right. They could absolutely do that, and they could even blame it on Russia or North Korea or whoever.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that any excuse will do, right? The reality is they've been caught. Right, there weren't enough of us that took the stupid shots, and now they haven't killed enough people yet, and they're running out of time. And this is why you see them trying to trick Putin into a nuclear exchange, or God knows, here comes Ebola from I can't remember where in Africa. Anything will work, and I have concern that they'll do that.
Well, have you noticed how many vaccinated people are dying of cancer? And for example, mammograms expose women's breast tissue and heart tissue to ionizing radiation. So if you're a healthy, normal adult and you get a mammogram, it doesn't kill you because your body repairs the chromosomal damage. But if you're a vaccinated woman and your body's making spike protein, and then you go get a mammogram, then that DNA damage cannot be repaired. And then, boom, your chances of breast cancer just skyrocketed. So you get killed by cancer, but not the vaccine.
I've heard a lot about that, by the way, that the shots have effectively eliminated the killer T cells, and people are going from no cancer to stage four in 30 days.
I'm seeing that all over the place. I mean, even anecdotally through family and friends, I'm hearing people, cancer was in remission for 5 years. They got the shots, they got a booster, and then boom, it comes back, and now they're given 6 weeks to live, things like that.
Yeah, and it's any malady. And I think this is what we saw in the DMED data, right? It wasn't just 1,100% across the board. It was varying degrees. Cancer was way up there, if memory serves. It was, 1,800% higher than normal. Other maladies were down. The point is that people that got three shots had all of their natural immunity destroyed. And so any malady becomes potentially deadly.
Well, that's exactly right. It's just that radiation is something that people can't see and that can be unleashed globally in a fallout event. See, I think this is why the Biden
regime. Why not 5G? We got 20,000 of these 5G Starlink things. Why not just nuke us with that? Right? That is microwave oven signals, is it not?
Well, you know what I think about the 5G is that they can use that to fake a pandemic in a given city. Sure. So they can turn on all the 5G in Philadelphia, let's say. And then, there's an outbreak in Philadelphia. Look at all these
people. We have evidence
They're
to support
dying.
That. No, you're absolutely right. And we've got correlating evidence to support your hypothesis.
And I think that they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
I think that's coming.
Yeah. And you look at the broad range of frequencies. If memory serves, anything over, 7 gigahertz up to 300 gigahertz is actually belongs to the military, at least in the United States. So who's got control over those frequencies, right? Because so I hope, I pray that there are good guys in the military. It's hard to say that that's true. When you look at these shots, they were developed by the military since 2003. The military is killing itself with these shots. So it's pretty hard to have faith that the leadership and the DOD is actually going to do something good for humanity right now.
Yeah, good point. But then also that creates such a vulnerability for America to be attacked by enemies.
Well, that's right. And that's what they want, right? They, in order to bring in Klaus Schwab's vision of a new world. And by the way, my early legal career, I undid the Soviet model economy in Poland. I was there right after the Russians left. I know what a Soviet model – yes. And I know what a Soviet model economy looks like. And that's what they're bringing in right now. It's an oligarchy, oligopoly, public-private partnership, fully integrated from dirt to finished product with only two competitors in each and every industry. The consolidation of all these businesses is exactly that. Why is it Target and Walmart are open to lockdowns and nobody else? Because they're consolidating the industry into two fully integrated companies.
Right.
The same in every industry. Even my industry is insurance. Exact same thing is happening. My point in telling you that is in order to bring in that economic system, in order to bring in the Chinese social credit system, they have to destroy just what Agenda 21 says. No borders, right? No sovereignty, no culture. We all have to be homogenous. They have to destroy currencies to the point where there could only be one currency. The Economist magazine cover in 1988 shows a single currency with an eagle of a Bitcoin around its neck standing on a pile of burning cash. The Economist magazine is owned by the Rothschild family. Right. They are telling us what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So you eliminate the borders, you eliminate the culture, you eliminate competition, you eliminate other mediums of exchange, which is what this central bank digital stuff is. In order to bring those things to fruition, you've got to destroy what's already there. They've got to destroy our country. They've got to destroy our military. They've got to destroy any semblance of cultural identity. That is what's happening right now.
Yeah, the attack on the family, the attack on biology. All of it.
Globally, all of us. Nobody's allowed to have a culture. Nobody's allowed to have a family. No, there will be no unauthorized breeding in Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, and people won't even be allowed to have backyard chickens or to have a ranch with cattle or anything.
Yeah, that's right. They're making it impossible. And there's some big nitrogen pumping machine, I understand, from one of my friends in Nebraska. Gates has built some big plant that's sucking all the nitrogen out of the farm fields. In the Midwest, the entirety of the Midwest.
Really?
It's all designed to destroy us, and there are many different vectors of death, many vectors of genocide, and they're all happening right now. The only good news out of all this is that we've already slowed them down. I should say President Trump has slowed them down by 4 or 5 years. And if we slow them down further, I think we actually have a chance of surviving this.
Well, and you're not wrong about the scale of this, because the carbon sequestration that is taking place right now is a terraforming operation. So that's altering the chemistry of the atmosphere to make it inhospitable to the current life species on the planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Karen Kingston said, what we are talking about in relation to these shots is synthetic life, synbio. So why wouldn't it be so that they're creating the environment for a new species of everything? It seems to me that would be logical.
Right. And then whatever this new species is, uses humans as a host for long enough until they are self-replicants.
Actually a paper saying that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes, I have it. I'll send it to you.
And then for whatever reason, they need an atmosphere that's different from the current atmosphere and so on. They need the sun to be dimmed. That's why there's all this global dimming operation taking place.
You bet. I mean, by the way, the self-replication, I think, was slated for 2034. I'll send you the document.
Okay.
It does exist.
All right. So is there any hope for humanity to make it through this and defeat all this?
Yeah. I think there's lots of hope. And one reason I say that to you is I think the owners are missing. You look at the top-down administration of how this world has worked for the last couple of thousand years. You look at the owners of the Bank for International Settlements, it's all bloodline stuff. These people actually believe that they are the spawn, the seed of Cain, going back to Cain and Abel, that they are genetically different from the rest of us. And they pay very close attention to their bloodlines, and they are all, frankly, sociopathic. And in our words, they would be criminally insane. But my point in telling you that is the ones at the very top are missing. They're missing in action. None of this could be happening if they were still in command and control. NATO would have already, you know, gone into Ukraine. They've already started a war with Russia. They would have. There's no way that only 45% of us would have taken the shots by now. The command and control is gone. And we now have a fighting chance to take our planet back. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to do that. That's why we make these stupid self-help legal documents. When I say stupid, because anybody can file them. Yeah, we just need people to do it.
When you say that,
why we go ahead.
The command and control is gone. I mean, where did they go? What happened?
I suspect in two of the very early executive orders that Trump put forth, there was a provision of law that caught my attention. It's called the International Economic Emergency Powers Act, IEPA. And that is used for civil asset forfeiture across country boundaries. As long as there's a nexus to something that happened in another country, maybe they used U.S. dollars or there was a U.S. citizen involved, it allows for civil asset forfeiture of foreign assets on probable cause alone. Right after that got enacted, it had to do with child trafficking and human trafficking,
sex trafficking.
Right after that, what did we see? 300 cop cars, helicopters, and whatever show up to the Rothschild estate in the Black Forest, and they start digging up the forest. We see the banker for the Vatican, circa 2018, if memory serves, get arrested, and all of the money drained out of the Vatican's bank. And what do we see also? We see the crest on the Windsor Castle got removed. Those three parties I just identified are the owners of the Bank for International Settlements, which owns all of the central banks on the planet, mm-hmm. save three. Right? Russia is no longer, North Korea never was, nor was Cuba's, and that's why they're always, you know, being persecuted. The last guy that tried to get free from them was Muammar Gaddafi.
Right.
Anyway, my point in telling you that is that we already have evidence that those assets may have already been forfeited, that they are no longer in command. You look at the Saudis, right? What did they do when they met Trump? They gave him the royal reception. He was made the king of Saudi Arabia. How does that happen? There's no way any of those things could happen if the owners were still in charge.
Compare that to the way MBS now treats Joe Biden.
Yes, precisely.
Right.
Precisely right.
Night and day.
So we've been given a chance here is what I'm trying to say, Mike. And it's really up to us whether we're going to do something about it and take advantage of it.
All right. Well, then perhaps, I'd love to have you back when it is relevant. I mean, the election's coming up, the midterm elections. You know, you and I are talking here on Halloween, actually. That's when this is being recorded.
It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, it is. talk about the appropriate day for all the transhumanism stuff. But the election's coming up. How do you feel about the integrity of these elections coming in about a
week? Yeah. Well, I sure had a lot of hope on Saturday. Sunday came along, the Brazilian elections, which appeared to me to be stolen. I thought that maybe there was a chance that the machines, because it's Dominion machines, are down there too. And I thought maybe there's a chance that, you know, we took control of them. I have a lot of faith that a lot of Americans are going to show up and throw the bums out. Right, people are recognizing it's a uniparty. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat because it's a duopoly. Right? It's always the same fiction. It's a facade. People finally get this, and they're willing to throw the bums out. So there is going to be a tsunami. It's not a red tsunami. It's not a blue one or whatever. It just is throw the bums out tsunami. And on that basis, I think there's actually a very good chance that we're going to get an entirely new government out of this. And maybe the Dominion machines won't matter a whole lot because they're binary, right? Red, blue, red, blue. Right? What if we get rid of all of them? Independence. Well,
but there aren't that many independent candidates that look like they're in a position to win. I mean, there are a lot of new faces, like, for example, younger, you know, conservatives like Carrie Lake and Blake Masters and so on.
And they are hot. They are on fire.
Yes.
And maybe they've got an R behind their name. Maybe there are some Democrats that have done some good things. Yeah, what I'm trying to say is people are focusing on the people now. They're actually taking the time to understand things and do research. 4 years ago, nobody could be bothered. The apathy was at an all-time high. And I sense a change, actually.
Yeah, well, isn't it interesting? That change is only coming after a lot of pain. It's that suffering that gets people to say, whoa, wait a second. Like, my world is getting rocked here. You know, food inflation, right? A possible nuclear war. I mean, this is bad. They're only learning through pain, sadly.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's right. We're at a fulcrum. And either we are going to do this and save ourselves or we're not. There is no middle ground.
Yeah, right. Well said.
So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. That's what I'm trying to say to you in a, okay. in a very roundabout way.
All right. Well, fair enough. Let me give out your websites again. DRAdvocates.com. That's your law firm. DRAdvocates.com.
Stands for Disabled Rights Advocates.
Oh, okay. That helps. Yeah, Disabled Rights. And then VaxChoice.com, and that's spelled with two X's, V-A-X-X, choice.com. Is there anywhere else? Do you have a channel on social media or anything like that you want to give out?
I do zero social media, but VaxChoice does. And then you can always find me hanging around with the good Dr. Vliet, and her foundation is truthforhealth.org, truth and the word for health.org. Okay. We're all working together in lots of ways, and you'll find me anywhere in one of those places.
All right. Well, fantastic. And, you know, I'd like to interview her, if you don't mind.
Wonderful. I'll make the introduction.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's lovely.
Let's get her on, because if you like working with her, then
yeah,
oh my goodness,
you'll love her.
We have to talk with her. All right. Well, this has just been extraordinary and a little bit alarming, but also hopeful.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for taking the time.
No, thank you. It's really been fun talking to you. I love the stimulation. You know, you're a brilliant guy. It comes across, and you've done a tremendous job of educating people. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Todd. I mean, if you don't mind me just calling you Todd instead of Mr.
Yeah,
Callender,
no, by all means. No, no. Please. I prefer it.
Okay. Well, this is extraordinary. We'll do it again. Oh, hold on after this. I'll give you my direct number so we can keep in touch. We can get you on for emergency issues for a shorter duration if that's an option that you
want to
invoke.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And for those listening, thank you so much for listening. You can repost this interview on your own channels, your own other platforms as well. You can post snippets of it, you know, so go for it. We got to warn humanity. We're all in this together, frankly. Yeah. If we're going to survive as a species, we got to spread the word. We got to wake people up. We got to defeat this Borgification agenda, this genocide, whatever this is. Maybe we'll have more answers.
All of the above.
All of the above. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm Mike Adams. Brighteon.com is the platform that we built so we can have these discussions. And you can also catch me at brighteon.social, where we've got many tens of thousands of people, you know, tweeting about all of this all day long. So join us there. God bless you all. God bless America. And thank you for listening today.
God bless.
A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.